What you're about to experience is one man's quest to see beyond the tumultuous period we're in and to envision what lies just beyond our grasp, yet well within our reach. Welcome to Larry Rifkin's America Trends, where the future has arrived, and it's just in time.
Welcome back to America Trends, Larry Rifkin and John Krofcik. And John, we are going to be talking about something that's very light and fun today. It really is in some senses. But it's also very important for us, I think, to introduce our audience to someone who's becoming a very important part of what it is that America Trends does. And that's Kristen Sunanta Walker, CEO of the Mental Health News Radio Network. And we've joined the network, John. We're on the network.
This is exciting because this is the first network we're a member of.
Absolutely. And Kristen, thank you so much for welcoming America Trends with open arms. And this is a little bit more expansive, looking at politics and social issues, because she does such a great job as it relates to mental health issues, which are uppermost on the minds of so many in America today. And we delve into those issues from time to time as we look at trends and social issues. But Kristen thought we'd be a good fit for her network, John.
Yeah, well, I think we're a good fit. We really do a lot of trends in that aspect, and it's very important.
Absolutely. And Kristen, please, we want people to go and listen to many of the other podcasts that are part of this network as well. So we hope that in addition to you helping us to introduce ourselves to others, that in fact we will help introduce people to the great content that you already have on your network. So again, very exciting. But before we joined the network, we got to know Kristen, and Kristen has an interesting take on some of the old television programs, John, and whether millennials are looking at them and saying, wait a minute, that is a sexist remark. That's a homophobic remark. And for many of us who are born of another era and generation in another time, we might look at it and say, well, that's kind of harmless. But there are millennials who are looking at it and
are they watching The Beaver?
Well, leave it to Beaver. I don't know. I mean, what would Eddie Haskell have been? I mean, he was just such a, prevaricator, such a liar. He could have been president today.
You're right.
But we're looking at shows like Seinfeld. We're looking at Friends. We're looking at many of these shows. And we don't think of things like the soup Nazi or same-sex relationships in the way that Seinfeld looked at them. Though at the time,
they were really cutting edge in their day. Really.
Exactly. And there were many organizations who were advocates for different groups who actually embraced these shows at the time.
They brought up issues that nobody else was talking about.
Now, All in the Family, she likes what I had to say about Archie Bunker, so you got to listen for that. So this is really a fun podcast with our new partner, Kristen Sunanta Walker, and we welcome her to America Trends, and we thank her for welcoming us to the network. We're so thrilled. Hi, Kristen. And Kristen, tell us, because we're going to be talking about, you know, why it is that a lot of people are taking umbrage at old television programs and what it represents about our culture. But give us a little bit of your background.
Well, I've been in the technology field for a long time, longer than I'd like to admit. And the last decade or so, I've been involved in the behavioral health part of healthcare in technology. And then I started a podcast that turned into a podcast network, and we've got about 40 different shows that cover all aspects of mental health, and that is my full-time job now, is managing that network and doing my own show on the network.
Wow, that sounds to be very occupying. Sounds great. Well, Kristen, you're here with us to help us understand why it is that millennials, perhaps we consider some of them, and I have two in my family, delicate flowers, having a hard time putting the shows that we love back in the 80s and 90s into the context of their times and being really upset by some of the content. What's going on here?
Well, I don't know that it's any different than any other generation. Every generation gets upset about, you know, what was okay for the generation before them. That's sort of the angst. The, well, I used to walk to school with no shoes and a broken leg and 5 miles. You know, you hear that. These
well, then you know my
don't
story.
Don't know how easy
yeah.
they've... exactly. And mine, too. So I don't know that it's any different in the thought process behind it. But what is very different is that our generations didn't have this thing called a smartphone and the internet and the ability to freely voice our objections to the things that, you know, we might not have been comfortable with. So I don't know that the behavior is different. It's just that the platform is so much more vast these days than it was when we were their age.
But are the social mores changing at such a rapid pace that what was considered to be appropriate, even for comedy and satire, back 10, 15 years ago, has been swept away in this frenzy to make certain that we're including everybody and getting everything right?
Yeah, I mean, that's different. But, you know, look at the 60s and all the things that happened there with the revolutions and the evolutions in our culture around there and the 70s. It's just that bigger, wider platform with an ability to, you know, not be have a governor on what we say. In the old days, and I'm putting myself there, these kinds of conversations would happen maybe in a college ethics class. Well, let's study Seinfeld and why that was okay to say the soup Nazi back then, and it's really not okay today. And now, you know, it's not necessarily in a class that has some boundaries around it. It's just, well, let's just type it in on our smartphone and put it out on Twitter or Snapchat or whatever else is going on. So our voices sound, their voices sound so much louder because they have the access to make them louder that we didn't have.
However, my child, my older child is 36, and he loves Seinfeld. And he watches it in reruns today. And I don't think that he is unable to disassociate what made it really interesting back then and forward-thinking in many ways, or at least reflective yeah. of a culture in New York City at the time, and look at it today and say, oh, how silly that we would, or how inappropriate, but hey, that was what they were thinking then, and really be able to frame it in the context of the times in which it was created.
Agreed. My son's 29, and he says the same thing. He thinks it's silly, these headlines about millennials. And, you know, we had a long discussion about that. Some of my podcasters are Gen Z, you know, younger than the millennials, and they say the same thing. We don't get offended. We kind of go, ooh. You know, that wouldn't make it as an active, you know, television show today. I'm glad it's syndicated from a while ago. So
do they need to put a disclaimer on some of this? This was taped in 1998, and in those days, they didn't feel that this was inappropriate. I mean, maybe putting it into some context or actually even having a discussion after it, though I'm not certain that Netflix wants to pay for that talking head program after.
I doubt they do. Yeah, I think a lot of it for me, what I see is a lot of, you know, when I was 24, 25, my thinking was very black and white. I wasn't, you know, I was still evolving as a person. I'm approaching 50. I've got a much different position on things now because that's the great thing about age. And so that quick access to have an opinion that gets thrown out into so many places isn't what you and I had to contend with. So I think what we're seeing is just the thought out perspective, take your time to think about something, try to understand. And a great conversation I had with some of our younger podcasters was, you know, they understood that I had to smile and my generation had to smile through a lot of things that made us uncomfortable because it was okay to make those kinds of remarks then. And thankfully, it's not okay to make those remarks now. So they appreciate the fact that I was part of a generation that did have to smile my way through some things, and they don't have to. So they're thankful at, you know, me being, along with many, many, many other people, part of a generation that helped them have this platform to where they don't have to smile through things.
Right. They can look at us as Neanderthals or whatever it may be. And I think it's okay in a sense, as you say, to be offended at what was considered appropriate in the past and be grateful that that's not accepted today easily. But, you know, also there is this element of the artistic and creative merit of the works in the context of when it was produced, not when it's being consumed. Are they able to do that? I know that Archie Bunker, for example. Archie Bunker moved from the recliner in Queens into the Oval Office in Washington. And, you know, don't you find it a little bit ironic that we're dealing with these issues when you think about that?
You know, that, and I'm so glad, because so many shows I've been on this week about this very topic, I was like, I'm not going to bring that up because this feels like a very conservative show and they will kick me off. But I think that that is what's sparking and fanning the flames of the outrage, because they're seeing that this person that represents Archie Bunker, how is this happening today? And that fans the flame of outrage. And I don't blame them. The difference, though, and is that, you know, Archie Bunker and All in the Family, they were saying a lot and hiding it in comedy so they could get away with the message they were really trying to say.
Exactly. And, of course, Meathead. Can we still call somebody meathead? I don't even know. Is that verboten?
I don't think that's a non-PC term. I haven't found any.
Well, there's a lot of people who are vegans and would not like that.
You know what? You're probably right. It could be. Someone could get offended by just about anything. So who knows?
Well, we've had other guests on recently talking about the coddling of the American mind in colleges. Really difficult is when you get back to classic works, when you go back to Shakespeare and Chaucer, and you go back to great thinkers of Western civilization, and because they were old white guys, their thinking is dismissed or has to be balanced or in some way made certain that there's some context brought to it, when in fact we've got to realize that these were brilliant men, generally, in their times, and this is three centuries on. I mean, we run the risk at a certain point of saying anything that was produced or anything that was written before 2014 has got to be put in the ash bin. I mean, how do we guard ourselves against this?
Well, I think we have to talk about how the erasure of history is the erasure of our evolution. I mean, how do we learn and grow and become more expansive and wise human beings if we don't see the mistakes and the closed-mindedness and the incorrect thinking that we had in the past, if we erase the past?
Oh, I agree with you totally. And to reverse engineer, let me give you an example and tell me what you think about this. I mean, Barack Obama, who's thought of as, you know, quite moderately liberal. I mean, he was not a radical in any way. But, you know, when you think about it, I think up to 2010, he had a problem with gay marriage publicly.
Right.
And that was only a few years ago, really.
Yeah, and you wonder, did he really have a problem with that? Or was that what he was allowed to have a problem with because that was going to protect his political career? Mm. You know, there's a lot of that stuff that goes
but
on.
But still, that was his public pronouncement that I'm not there yet, or Hillary Clinton or whatever. And they came a way. So what do we say? Well, you know, this person really was a troglodyte. And, you know, let's dismiss anything that he wrote, said, and he wrote a couple of books before 2010, and just dismiss it because of his feeling about one issue.
That's the problem with the erasure of history. Look, there are things that I said in my 20s and in my 30s.
Do you want to embarrass yourself right here? Would you like to do that?
I don't want to. Well, okay, I'll give you an example. There, I had this idea that my husband, the father of my child, he's my best friend in the world, he's now my ex-husband, I absolutely firmly believed in my 20s that he was responsible for meeting all of my emotional needs. And I punished him horribly, emotionally, passive-aggressively, and so on in my 20s because he didn't meet all of my needs. And I've learned now in my late 40s, boy, that was unfair.
Yeah. Wow. That was a heavy drop on the guy. Well, there's an admission.
And I have no problem admitting those things because we grow. And it's funny, I have this person who's obviously severely mentally ill, who is trolling me and trolls many others, and they're pulling bits and pieces out of my different talks that I've done over the years and splicing them down to grab only a snippet of something I've said and twisting it into something ugly. And I'm ignoring it, and people are like, aren't you upset about this? You should be outraged. And I think, well, A, I'm in mental health, and this is really more of a reflection of this person that we have some compassion for, that they're this mentally ill, they're spending their time doing this. And it's also a reflection of what happens in the media. They take these sound bites from people 10, 15, 20 years ago. Well, you know, people do evolve. A lot of them do. Not everyone, but a lot of people do evolve.
We are allowed
to grow and change our minds.
Well, you know, there are things that we might have tried to say, and I did a lot of live television for many years, and it was risky because you never knew when something might be said or come out of your mouth that was unintended,
yep,
or how it was going to be received by the person on the other end. Let me ask you today, when you're looking at these shows, Friends and Seinfeld and All in the Family, going back, and these were really classic programs as we looked at them, today, what offends us most, or what do you hear people complaining about? Is it the lack of sensitivity about gender? Is it obesity? Because, you know, the fat joke used to be a pretty easy joke line. Innuendo in the Me Too movement. I mean, what are the things that really seem to get a lot of people coalesced around a social media outrage, if you will?
The most that we hear about in terms of everyone on the network is things to do with gender, objectification of women especially, but also men, obviously homophobia of any kind, and racism. Those are the things that we get emails and direct messages on social media and calls and things like that. Those are the things that they get the most upset about are those things. And that's understandable, absolutely. And again, you know, we're evolving. We're figuring out a lot of things now that aren't okay. And I think also what we all notice, and we run the gamut from people that are, you know, Gen Z to people that are, you know, in their 70s and 80s that do shows. And, you know, what they all talk about is that there seems to be this quick, rash judgment and this pendulum swing that is so far on the other side, but history has shown us that that's how change happens. And at some point, that pendulum starts to kind of go back to a nice middle ground until the next revolution.
Absolutely. Let's take the show Friends. Millennials say that many of the sitcom storylines are what they call transphobic, which I don't even know at the time was really a major, you know, issue. Homophobic, sexist, might be a little difficult for the creators to imagine when some of those things were being written, that these phobias even existed in the popular lexicon. And isn't comedy really supposed to at times be edgy, even if it does make somebody uncomfortable, if in fact it really exposes some kind of social truth, even if it is a stereotype?
Absolutely. I think that the thing that we kind of are forgetting, and I'm not saying I blame millennials or Gen Z for this because they have a voice too, But I think somewhere there's a little bit of forgetting, because they have such an open platform that generations before them didn't. And so we had to hide a lot of messages that we were trying to make in comedy and in things that sounded inappropriate, but that deeper message was there to try to push the envelope and make people really think about how inappropriate it was what we were saying. So it wasn't that we were, you know, saying yay for the inappropriateness. It was more like, we're going to hide what's really sad in this joke so that you can wink, wink, get it. And they don't necessarily have to do that today. So I think that's the piece that the younger generation is missing, is that they don't have to do that. And we did.
And I remind people who are listening to this that Seinfeld, for example, won a GLAAD award, and that's the group that protects the rights of gays, mm-hmm. back in its day. So even advocacy groups, their standards change over time. So we must understand, and we must understand that. Well, listen, Kristen Sinanta Walker, it was really a pleasure to have this conversation with you, an interesting one indeed. And tell us how people can get in touch with the work that you're doing with your podcasts and your network.
Anyone can go to mentalhealthnewsradionetwork.com if they want to type a lot, or they can just go to mhnrnetwork.com and find us, and all of our shows are listed there and on iTunes and so on.
All right. All the great aggregator sites, as we like to say, and we're on them all too. So I thank you so much for being with us today on America Trends.
Thank you.
Hey, Larry, I got some exciting news.
Well, let's hear it, John.
We are not part of the MHNR network.
Really? Where can you find the MHNR network?
We can find us at mhnrnetwork.com.
Let's go there right now.
All right.